Welcome to the Far and Beyond podcast, hosted by the Contracts and Fiscal Law Department at the Judge Advocate General's Legal Center and School. I'm Major Elizabeth Sewell.
And I'm Major Ed Callahan. Together, we're your co-hosts. In this episode, we're breaking down the Fiscal Year 2025 National Defense Authorization Act, better known as the FY25 NDAA.
Now, a quick note up front, this legislation was signed into law by President Biden back in December 2024. So yes, we're, well, more than 6 months, almost a year out.
Almost a year out at this point.
But think of this episode as your baseline. What's in the law? What has changed? And why it matters? We'll hit updates and new developments in future episodes.
Exactly. So here's the big picture. The NDAA is about buying faster, buying smarter, and protecting supply chains. Translation, DoD wants to stop taking 10 years to buy a widget, make it easier for small businesses to get contracts, and stop buying things from our strategic competitors.
So let's start with certified cost and pricing data. Section 815 exempts non-defense contractors from submitting certified cost and pricing data on subcontracts under $5 million. Instead, they can show what prices were paid for the same goods or services in the past 12 months, if those prices are fair and reasonable.
And now that's a big change for non-traditional contractors who often get stuck out based on the cost accounting rules. The NDAA basically says, show us recent supported pricing, and then you can move forward.
And then Section 863 also extends the streamlining awards for innovative technology projects in the fiscal year 2022 NDAA until October 1st, 2029. Similar to Section 815, this pilot program exempts certain small businesses and non-defense contractors from providing certified cost or pricing data. So building on that, Section 864 creates a pilot program for contracting officers to use an alternative capability-based analysis when figuring out price reasonableness. Instead of only looking at cost, contracting officers can look at value, things like technical expertise, savings down the road, or even what actual users say.
So what does that translate to in practice? So instead of just looking and crunching the numbers, contracting officers can consider the value to the government, technical expertise, input from end users, and even the contractor's business model. It's a way to get innovative products in the door without forcing small businesses to navigate an accounting maze. It's like buying a smartphone. The cheapest one isn't always the best value, and I'd argue oftentimes isn't the best value. Sometimes it's worth paying a little more if it's going to save you time and headaches down the road.
I have that argument with my husband all the time. And he wants the cheapest model. And I'm like, but you've replaced it every year. And then, or you could spend a little bit more and maybe not replace it every year.
So my problem is I have that argument with myself. Still buy the cheap thing. Buy it six times before I finally go buy the expensive one. And then it's out of model. So I'm behind the curve on that.
All right, moving on to inflation and costs. Another hot topic, inflation. So Section 824 extends DOD's special authority to adjust contracts for increased costs caused by inflation through the end of 2025. That means contractors impacted by inflation may be able to file claims for relief once DOD issues those regulations.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see whether or not that gets extended with all these numbers coming out, inflation, you know, on the mend, not being as high as it was over past years. I'll be interested to see if they even want to extend that one any further.
Yeah, if they're just going to be like, nope, we're done. We're going back to how it was pre-2020.
That's right. So sticking with this NDAA and its small business focus, the angle in this starts with Section 874. Section 874 of this NDAA creates a pilot program to help small businesses and universities get facility clearances faster using shared classified commercial spaces.
And Section 876 directs DOD to roll out a small business bill of rights. It's designed to make sure acquisition personnel are responsive to small businesses and that those businesses understand their rights.
I mean, we've always tried to capture small business set-asides, right? We've always tried to make sure that we were opening up the aperture of who's going to be eligible for it. But it's nice to see these things coming out and kind of solidifying and helping these small businesses, because it's still not an easy process to navigate through.
No, you often hear these small businesses don't want to work with the federal government because we're difficult. They don't understand the process, the programs, the just how to navigate all the rules and regulations. And And it's a lot.
It's a ton. And the upfront cost for a small business to actually put together just bids to get in and try and be competitive, it dissuades a lot of them from even starting the process. All right. So let's talk a little bit about the acquisition pathways in this NDAA. It codifies two major acquisition pathways. The first, the middle tier of acquisition for rapid prototyping and rapid fielding. Projects meant to deliver capability in 2 to 5 years.
The second, the software acquisition pathway, which aligns acquisition timelines with how software is actually developed. Interactive, fast, and flexible. Both of these give program managers more authority and, in some cases, the ability to seek waivers from statutory requirements. The middle tier is about getting prototypes fielded in 2 to 5 years. It's like saying, hey, Army, stop waiting for the perfect system in 2040. Get something good enough into the soldier hands by 2029.
Right. And the software pathway really is just common sense. You don't buy an iPhone. We're going to keep coming back to phones, even though it's my existence. But you don't buy an iPhone the way you buy an aircraft carrier, right? Software evolves constantly. The acquisition system needs to evolve with it.
Along those lines, Section 861 codifies a pilot program introduced in the fiscal year 2022 NDAA to accelerate the procurement and fielding of innovative technologies through competitive, merit-based solicitations with preferences for small businesses and non-traditional contractors.
Right. So the DOD, or Department of War, is to publish guidance for the pilot program, and it is to issue at least 2 solicitations open to companies with limited prior Defense Department work for awards up to $50 million apiece for innovative technologies, which can be rapidly procured and fielded. Again, we keep coming back to, because the executive orders, because the SecDef, SecWar, and all of his announcements, rapid fielding of innovative technologies. We're going to build the American base up, and we're going to get these things out to our troops and to our warfighters faster.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing, is just how fast can we speed up the acquisition process, especially for technology.
That's exactly right. Because by the time, as you noted before, by the time we're buying something, it's already out of date, it's been surpassed. We need to streamline this process to get it up and continue being a lethal warfighting force. Let's talk a little bit about other transactions, OTs. Sections 816 and 817 of this NDAA expand the DoD's ability to use other transactions authority, or OTAs. Now, prototype OTAs over $100 million can be approved by the head of a contracting activity, and follow-on production contracts can be sole-sourced if that prototype is successful.
OTAs are like DoD's fast pass at Disney World. So fewer lines, fewer rules, and you get to ride the attraction way sooner.
So as much as I may hate the telephone metaphors, I guarantee all we're going to hear is Disney metaphors coming out of that side of this table. I love it. Keep it up. All right. One thing to keep in mind, though, is that Section 888 adds some accountability. DOD has to track OTA awards to small businesses and non-traditional contractors. The idea is to get data without burying those businesses in reporting requirements, like we've talked about before. Because right now, it's hard to tell if the FastPass is being used by the scrappy startups or just by the usual big names that we always see coming across.
No, it's like OTAs are like the shiny new toy, and you're seeing them being pushed more and more in the federal government and in the DOD or Department of War right now. So I think it is good to track, just to see, are they really doing what they're designed to do things faster, get them to smaller businesses, to get more innovation, and to start up more innovation out there in the private sector that we can then utilize in the federal government. So I do think, I like this idea of the accountability. Let's track the numbers and see what are we doing with them.
No, that's exactly right. Because you don't know if a program's working unless you can sit there and say, these are the folks that are using it. Look at all these companies coming in. Or if it's just a different way for us to feed the same beasts that have been feeding off us forever.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now into some of my favorite topics that I don't understand, but I talk about all the time. Intellectual property and the supply chain. All right, so Section 882 directs the DoD to establish procedures for reverse engineering items when the government lacks technical data. Think spare parts or components where only one vendor holds the rights. Picture a jet sitting idle because a $50 part is sole-sourced and backordered. The DoD wants the ability to say, fine, we're going to make it ourselves because we've been able to figure out where this part is needed, what it entails to get this pod in and put it in ourselves.
So I like this new rule. I think it's good. I hope it helps the military be able to fix some of those problems, be able to fix their own equipment, let their people like do it instead of waiting for someone to come out to you, a contractor to get a part to you. But my thing is, I've asked for reverse engineering sometimes, and I get some pushback, especially from engineers on it. So I don't know if it's because of policy, and this will change that, because now it's saying, like, no, do that. But hopefully this does, like, spur people to do the reverse engineering so we're not sitting around waiting so much.
No, absolutely right. In the Army, I don't know if it's the same thing in the Air Force, but we have multiple Mondays, right? Everybody, la-di-da-di, sitting in the motor pool trying to work in PMCSU vehicles. And I can't tell you, I think in my last unit, which will go unnamed, we couldn't get these pots coming in for years. Like, we'd put them in and they're just backordered and backordered. So you go in every Monday and you document the same problem, the same deficiency on these vehicles. We had some of the best mechanics I've worked with, right? And I've worked in a lot of motor pools. If we can get these guys, the authority, guys and gals, the authority to go through and actually reverse engineer and fix the vehicles, we're not going to be locked in by these vendors who are so backlogged because supply chain issues coming through. And speaking of supply chains, right, so Section 849 is also asking the Department of Defense to encourage contractors in monitoring their supply chains for vulnerabilities and security issues. We are seeing this especially with technology and a lot of things. I've been focusing a lot on drones recently, and this is a real, real problem coming through. They are really trying to get a hold of the supply chain for many of these electronics and items that the DoD is purchasing.
Yes, there's so much focus on China and trying to limit our reliance on them, their supply chains. You're just seeing it pop up, not only in this NDAA, but the previous, like, 8 NDAAs. Mm-hmm. China has been all over just restricting companies, restricting what we can purchase from them. They're really, really focusing on that supply chain thing. Also on the supply chain side, Congress continues to keep their eye close on China. And then Section 853 bans DoD from buying semiconductor products from companies that also sell to Hawaii. And Section 851 prohibits contracts with firms tied to the Chinese military lobbyists.
Sure. And like with so many things, we got to build up our domestic base, and we don't build up our domestic base by buying foreign parts and equipment, right? Mm-hmm. We're just going to keep feeding those. They're just going to keep growing and evolving faster than us. Unless we make this something that is profitable for the U.S. companies, they're not going to build them. They're not going to build them in mass, and they're not going to be available to us should the need ever come that we're cutting off supply chain, or that supply chains are being cut off from us.
It's so true. They're just not only building up the supply chain, but sometimes trying to just find a new supply chain too, and making sure that they have enough resources to supply us too.
That's right.
I mean, it's a trickle down effect. So not only building like some semiconductors here in America, but is there somewhere else that's an ally that, you know?
That's right.
It's there's just a lot into it.
So meanwhile, Section 848 requires the DoD to publish a universal list of items exempt from the Berry Amendment sourcing requirements. That's meant to bring more transparency to what the government buys overseas when domestic options aren't available.
All right, let's move on to space and technology.
This, not shockingly, will be more your field than mine, Air Force.
In the space arena, Section 1601 expands the Space Force's contractor responsibility watch list. Basically, it's a list of underperforming or vulnerable contractors. Once you're on it, you can't get new space contracts unless DoD finds a compelling reason. Basically, a naughty list for underperformers.
All right. And Section 162 has the Navy assessing supply chain risks for drones under 55 pounds. Folks who work in drones know that we talk in categories 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I believe that's categories 1 and 2 of your drones. Because if you've seen how many cheap drones can be bought off Amazon, you get why the DoD is worried about Chinese components. This has been such a common theme in so many of the past NDAAs. The American Security Drone Act came out last year in last year's NDAA. So we're trying to keep an eye on this, and we're trying to catch it, because it's not just Chinese made, but from any one of the near-peer adversaries that we're trying in our competitive space to avoid, we got to watch out. Can't be buying this stuff.
All right, last thing we want to talk about are bid protests and claims, every contracts attorney's favorite thing. So, big changes here too. So Section 885 raises the threshold for protesting DOD task orders from $25 million to $35 million. It also requires GAO to look at ways to reduce the number of protests it gets and even consider pilot programs for fee shifting where losing protesters might have to pay costs.
Yeah, this is everybody's favorite area for sure. And like, this is always going to be a controversial topic, right? And we'll probably dedicate whole episodes to bid protests, reforms that are coming through. Certainly, as we're trying to build up a base, I think there's going to be a lot of conversations about how we can get away from this.
Mm-hmm.
Almost protest culture might be too strong of a word, but we just accept that a lot of these things are going to come with protests and you're building timelines for it. But if we can start building better relationships with companies that are out there, then I think we're going to be able to kind of get out of that. Mm-hmm. Almost, you know, it's almost a guaranteed conversation every time that this one's going to be protest. Let's just build in the timelines for it. And there's been some movement on this task, so stay tuned. I'm sure we'll be diving back into this in some of our regularly scheduled podcasts.
Finally, Section 803 makes unilateral contract definitizations by DOD immediately appealable. That overturns a 2023 Federal Circuit decision that forced contractors into procedural hoops before they could challenge a definitization.
This was a lot to digest, and hopefully it was helpful to folks. This NDAA clearly pushes the DOD toward faster acquisitions, more flexibility for small business, and a tighter control over our supply chains. Well, the bumper sticker version, move fast, buy smart, and don't buy from China.
Exactly. Thanks for joining us for this rundown of the 2025 NDAA. Be sure to subscribe to Far and Beyond on your favorite podcast platform.
As I say, we're available on all the podcast platforms. So whether it's Spotify, Apple Music, anywhere else that you're out there listening to us, hit the subscribe button so you can stay up to date. We're going to be coming out with these on a more regular basis for you. And we're available on Facebook and LinkedIn. The links are in the show notes.
As always, the views expressed here are those of the presenters and do not represent the Judge Advocate General Corps, the Department of the Army, or the Department of War.